Welcome to a new edition of Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
Don't forget to follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. Twitter and Facebook are pretty much the ones we're on because we still haven't figured out the Instagram thing. I think I'm just going to keep it going all season and see how long it takes us. Kind of like a running joke. Anyway, we're going to be joined later on this episode with our guest, Eric Erlinson of LightningInsider.com, who's also a member of the Lightning Power Play family as well. So stick around for that segment later in the show. But let's get into, what's the second full week of the season?
This has been a really wild start to the season.
Oh, wild. I mean, I don't know about wild. Interesting. I mean, we haven't seen them at home since the home opener. There's that.
Yeah, there's that. But I really want to talk to Eric Erlinson about this, and I know you're probably interested too. Did the Lightning have any idea who they are? And I mean that in actually a kind of positive way. Are they still trying to figure out their identity this year? You think about who they lost, right? They lost Anton Stralman. They lost Dan Girardi.
They
lost Ryan Callahan. To a lesser degree, they lost Adam Ernie. He did play more in the second half of last season.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't think that that would be the determining factor of who the Lightning is as an identity.
True.
But we've seen many different Lightnings. Many different Lightnings so far. And I really want to get Eric's take on who is this team.
Right.
We know that they lost, of course, we all know, in the first round of the playoffs.
Yes,
sadly.
We all know. Moving on. I can't.
But you would think that would almost recharge them, kind of. And so far, I've seen it here and there. We did see it against Toronto.
Holy cow.
Is a great team.
Yeah.
A fantastic team.
Yeah. I mean, they've got Austin Matthews.
Mm-hmm. John Tavares.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're a difficult team to play against. And, you know, just being in Toronto, too, you know, makes it difficult anyway. But they had a couple days off before that because they were just going for the first three, four, 5 days of the season. But, yeah, so they had a couple days off. They go into Toronto. Holy heck. Well, Braden Point comes back in a big way.
He was like, hey, guys.
By the way, I'm here. Hey, how's it going? So Braden Point back on the ice was amazing and exciting to see, and I was so happy to see him back on the ice because I feel like it's been forever, but it's only been a couple weeks. So it was really great to see him back, but it was just like,
didn't it feel to you like this is my team?
Yes. Yeah.
That it was game like, was like, yep, here we go.
They roll into an arena and they just shut them down on the road. Kevin Shattenkirk, by the way, he's just like, he's a defenseman, guys. But that backhander was pretty awesome.
I am so pleased with him.
Yes, me too.
And of course, we'll get Double E's thoughts on Shattenkirk later on in the show. But, you know, I'm really impressed. You and I kept saying it for the first few shows this season. Don't get fooled by the stat lines from 2018, 2019. Don't get fooled by those because that's not the Kevin Shattenkirk that we know. You thought I was going to say something else.
Yes, I did.
You looked up.
I was
like
oh, here we go.
Dump button, cough button. No, we're fine. But I feel like this is the guy that I expected. I don't know why. I think the Lightning got him for a great deal.
Yep.
Because of what happened. This is a what have you done for me lately league, as all professional leagues are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they got him for a steal, and I think he's playing with a chip on his shoulder, and I think he's going, hey, remember me?
Yeah.
You know, the All-Star? Remember me?
I'm good too, guys.
Fantastic. I'm so impressed so far.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. And, you know, the normal guys who are pretty awesome for us all the time. But it was like a shooting range on the first period. It was like every time I turned around, there was another goal.
Yeah.
This team, that team, another goal.
Yeah.
So, it was good to see Braden Point get on the stat sheet first.
Mikhail Sergachev is continuing to be like an assist machine.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, Braden Point, he scored 228 into the first period. 228 into the first game of his season.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sergachev just, yeah. But on Braden's, on back to Braden's goal, Stamkos and Kucherov assisting. I mean, it's just pretty. It's just pretty.
If this line holds, mm-hmm. and I mean holds together, as in the coaching doesn't, the coaching staff, John Cooper, and the alternates don't start kind of messing with things, which they will. Listen, this isn't going to be the line for, you know, the 70 remaining whatever games, 60, what, 70 games. Okay, there's
the ebb and flow of the season will change.
But I love this line, and I know everybody talks about the killer bee line in Boston, and I'm telling you, this line is better.
That's tough.
I said it.
Wow. And then in the second period, the same line gets another goal halfway into the second period. Pretty nice. And then Cooch and Stamkos rounded out with 6:57 left in the third. Andre Palat on the score sheet again.
He's really, really had a nice start.
And Anthony Cirelli with a couple assists in this game, too. I mean, everybody's stepping up, man.
Yeah. I was so thrilled with the Toronto game. Just thought everything really looks good. Everything, this is it. Okay, here we are. Took him a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe Braden Point, you know, he's such a huge part of that offense.
He's like such a spark, man.
Yeah, he really is. And we saw everything and come together, and I was like, oh, yeah, feeling good. Yep. This is the team.
Yeah.
Again, against a very well-coached, very good Toronto team who, you know, went real, you know, expectations for that team are really, really high.
Absolutely.
As they should be.
Yep.
So I was really thinking.
It was going to be a dogfight, I was thinking, you know.
I thought it was going to be. I thought they were a little, probably, naturally would feel a little let down.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought they came out and were like, yeah, hey, by the way, we won the President's Cup. We are the team
mm-hmm.
that you still need to watch out for. That's how I felt watching Toronto.
Yeah. Watching the Lightning in Toronto.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shots on goal were up because we've seen that struggle a little bit. Mm-hmm. 33-28. Faceoffs were under Toronto, but you know, 25 hits, 19 blocks. They had 9 giveaways, but they had 5 takeaways. So I call that like the net carb thing, you know, how added subtract. But I mean, overall, you know, I like the 25 hits though. That makes me happy.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I think you see that with, you know, the bigger kind of added some size. They added, you know, Shattenkirk brings size.
Yep.
Maroon, of course.
Yep.
I mean, that's a big guy.
Pat Maroon is a big dude.
He's a big dude.
Yep.
So, you know, and of course, Hedman, who's our constant.
He's like our North
but yeah,
Star.
I like the physicality. And yep. I thought that that was something the Lightning could have. I think that's kind of what beat them. A little bit last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, we won't name it again. But I think, oh, okay. And I think everybody felt that. Everybody started thinking, oh, you know what? You're adding some size. You're adding a little bit of tenacity to it.
Yep.
You know, we were concerned about losing Callie and Girardi and the grit. But I think that came. I don't think that's been an issue.
Well, and I think Luke Witowski's addition. Kind of what I said last week to Nick Alberga was I feel like last season there was nobody that was on the Lightning's team or the Lightning team that – when they stepped on the ice, the other team was like, oh, I better check myself, better be on my best behavior.
Yeah.
I don't feel like we don't have a goon per se, but I feel like there are a couple people who, you know, they might need to watch themselves around because if they start, you know, trying something,
they might get a little
in their face. So that's good. All right, let's get into then the Ottawa game, which I think a lot of people wrote off.
I shouldn't
say
this.
Because it's Ottawa.
Yeah, I was going to say I shouldn't say this, but it was Ottawa. I even, you know, said to you, like, so not worried about Ottawa.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't realize that Vladdy Namestnikov was picked up by Ottawa.
And he was playing like he had a bone to pick, and I'm not sure why, because it's been a minute. I think it's just the way.
I think he just gets competitive because he went out to dinner the night before with Vasi and Sergachev and Kucherov. They all posted a photo on their Instagram of them out to dinner, I think, or they grabbed, I don't know, they were hanging out before the day before. So I think, you know, they get competitive when they're playing against their friends.
I guess.
Vladdy had a nice night, man.
He had a great night. He really did. And you know, we like seeing former Lightning players that left through no fault of their own. We like seeing them, you know, flourish, but just not against the Lightning.
Not when we play them. But Andre Palat again on the score sheet. I'm so happy to see that. I feel like injury has plagued him for the last two seasons, and he hasn't been able to get back to where he what he's used to, and I'm really seeing that right now. And Luke Witowski on getting a goal too, backed up by Pat Maroon and Mikhail Sergachev. I mean, come on now, this kid doing good things. And then Namestnikov was the first star of the game. But, you know, here we go again, shots on goal.
Yep,
21-34.
I was just about to say, 21 shots on goal.
They were up in faceoffs. No power plays,
which.
Down in hits, down in blocks, 9 giveaways again, 6 takeaways.
How I would
like... But wait, Ottawa had 16 giveaways, so okay.
It was strange. I think the lack of shooting hurts the Lightning, as everybody... Listen, that's not, you know, breaking news here.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know why, as much as they were, taking the puck... Takeaways that they had, they just weren't converting. Mm-hmm. And that is concerning to me.
Mm-hmm.
Again, McElhinney had not a bad, stopped 30 of 33 shots.
Which I'm really surprised. We're, what, 5 or 6 games into the season? We've already seen McElhinney twice. I mean, they're really pacing Vasilevsky this season so far, which I like.
I do like.
Yeah.
I do like. I'm not sure if it's maybe we saw it a little bit with a little tiny bit with Domingue last year. And you know what? Back when it was Ben Bishop and Vasi was backing him up, when he would go in, we saw it took a minute.
Yeah.
Got to get used to things. Got to change some of the things that you do when you have a goalie back there. So I'm not sure if it's just growing pain.
Well, and he's a new goalie, too. I mean, the guys don't really know him all that well yet.
Right.
Still early.
Yeah.
I think it's growing pains. I think it's going to... Don't panic, people. Somebody asked me the other day, are you panicking yet? What? I'm like, it's the middle of October. I've only seen them play at home once in the regular season. No, I'm not panicking here.
There's no reason to panic.
Come on. Now, last year was crazy how many wins we had. And, I mean, that's not normal. They broke a record, people. They're going to lose games. It's going to happen. We just hope they win more than they lose.
Right. And our good friend Dan Lucas.
Who has been quite the jet setter lately. He's all over.
Yeah, he really has. He said it, I don't remember if it was last season or the season before, Lightning fans get a little spoiled.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're so used to this team being the team that everybody's after. Everybody's eyeing, everybody's looking up at them in the standings, chasing the Lightning, that sometimes you forget that it's okay to lose hockey games.
Yep.
And it's normal.
Yep.
I don't remember how many losses they had last year, but it was a ridiculously low amount.
Yes, it was.
It's not, it would be lovely. It would be wonderful if it happened again.
Oh, yeah. But don't count on it.
But don't count on it.
That's not what they're playing for. And if anything, from last year, they're not playing for having the most wins and breaking a record. They're playing for that beautiful chalice, the Silver Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
That's what they're playing for. So, all, you know, resting Vasilevsky, that's part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, taking the time to bring Braden back when he's ready.
Yep.
That's part of it. Not rushing things.
Right.
Not panicking. Now, when they played, I think it was Carolina after the game, you know, the captain, Steven Stamkos, had some words. Clearly it motivated them because a couple days later, they come back with a 7-3 win. Again, ebb and flow. And we're still going to get the best effort of every team when we go into their building.
Oh, yeah.
Or they come into ours. So we still got a target on our backs from other teams. So this is not a time to panic. I there are things that they can look at to work on.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got time to do it.
I also think that so far, it's tough coming right out of the – I'm not trying to make excuses for the team, but it's tough when you only play one, your home opener, mm-hmm. which is the season opener, and that's it.
Yep.
And then you're gone.
Yep.
For six games.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be home
Saturday
to, you know, after maybe they'll take the late flight out of Montreal tonight. I don't know. But maybe they wait till the morning. I don't know. But it'll be nice to have them back at home.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll be happy to be back at home.
Yeah.
It's a long, it's not how I would want to start.
Actually, they're actually still in Montreal because I don't know how to count.
Yeah. So
I'm a writer, not a mather.
Montreal for Tuesday game and then Boston.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's why, because I don't can.
Yeah. Do you know what day it is?
Yeah.
Hi.
Not a fan.
It's okay. So, they got two more games on the road, and then they come back and play Colorado at home on the 19th. So.
And then with their,
Then they're home for two games for a week or so, and then they're back on the road then.
Yeah. And they, you know, they're playing some really tough teams to start the season.
They are.
Or I don't think anybody thought really maybe Florida would be a little as tough as they played on, but.
Yeah.
They do play each other kind of tough, but I'm not going to say I'm concerned about Montreal, but we do know that Coach Cooper does not like losing two games in a row. We've already seen that happen once this season already, so he's not a big, you know, he does whatever they don't like doing it, so whatever they can do. I just think that I want October to be over with.
Yeah, I'm ready to get into November because they're home a lot in November.
They are.
Every Saturday there's a home game in November.
They are home a lot.
Yeah, it's nice. It'll be nice for them. Kind of get in a rhythm. That's the thing. They haven't been able to get into a rhythm.
Bingo.
Is that what it... Ding, 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 ding.
They've been slightly, consistently inconsistent.
Right. Which is to be expected when you're traveling for 2 weeks right after the home opener. And you really haven't gotten to get into the groove of the season yet.
It doesn't... I'm not a professional hockey player.
No.
Shocker. But
really?
I would think that it's difficult.
Yeah.
It's difficult to start. You have your home fans. You have the energy. It's your home.
Yep.
And then you're off. Right when the season starts, you're gone.
Yeah.
And then it's like hotel to hotel, airport, airport. I would think this is rough. And they don't have control over that. They can only play the schedule that they are given. But this is rough.
Yeah, and it's good, though, for those new guys to bond with the guys that are already there, though. That's a nice thing. But, again, it's hard to get into a rhythm of games and, like, especially if you're new to a team, you know, a new city, and then you're gone. So, all right, so we're going to take a quick break and come back with more Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, we're back on Game Misconduct. Don't forget, you can follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct, really Twitter, and also on Facebook, too. We're still figuring out that Instagram thing. Speaking of Instagram, saw something over the weekend that I thoroughly enjoyed. It's called Along for the Ride. It's on the Lightning's Instagram account and on their IGTV video. They gave Mikhail Sergachev an iPhone and asked him to take some behind-the-scenes content during their current road trip. And he actually did a really good job. And I guess it's going to be a new feature. So it starts with him, I think, getting off the team plane. I don't know in what city, but it starts there. And he kind of gets some reactions from the other team or the other players. His roommate is Eric Chernak. Didn't know that. That now. So it's kind of fun. If I've always wanted to ride on the team plane, like, to a away game, because I just think it would be super cool. So if you've ever wanted to do that, you can kind of live vicariously through Mikhail Sergachev. So I really hope they do more and more of these because I found them really interesting.
I wonder if it's they're just doing it with the younger guys.
I don't know. But and they released Wired for Sound, Yanni Gord.
Oh, gosh.
It was so good. It's so good. You've got to look at
that,
too.
I love it when they mic the players up.
Yeah, he's... He starts out, he's looking at his hockey stick, and I can't tell if it's the if they're at home. I think they're at home. Yeah, they're at home, and I can't tell if it's, it must be the first home game. But he's looking at his stick, and he's like, "Was this stick always green?" You know. So I mean, it's just kind of like behind the scenes. I love that kind of stuff. So that's all on the Tampa Bay Lightning Instagram account.
Yeah, I really like this idea because I have long said that when it comes to the four major professional sports, I guess five if you count NASCAR. And is that a thing?
Yeah.
That's a thing. Okay.
NASCAR's a thing.
If you count the four or five major sports, hockey players get the least media coverage. So we really never know these guys the way we know, you know, a football player on the Buccaneers or a, you know, Rays player or even national, you know, guys that are national superstars. We just don't know them the same way. So I really like that the Lightning give us these little inside looks at them. They did it several times with Dan Girardi last year where he was mic'd up. And I mean, he's just fun. And you and I kept saying, oh, I hope they continue doing this because it's nice to get this little inside look on not just the player that's mic'd up, but the guys on their line that they're talking to and their pairings. And so I really like this. And I think hockey fans would love more to know these guys more. And so, yeah, definitely check it out. And I think I'm a big Sergachev fan. Just something about the kid.
He's a good player.
So it's cute. I like when they do these things.
So yeah, they're gonna. I'm hoping they do a whole lot more.
Absolutely. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call them cute, but
that's okay. You're allowed once a season.
Cute.
All right. So also the Lightning after the game on Saturday, October 19th, there is going to be a little musical act. Yes. Do you want to know who it is? Take a wild guess.
Who?
So it's a country music duo called Low Cash.
Okay.
Super fun. Seen them a bunch of times in concert.
Okay. Low Cash.
Low Cash.
Like they're low on cash.
Well, it's capital L-O-C-A-S-H.
Okay.
Yeah. So after the final whistle blows on Saturday's game, there is a free post-game concert on Ford Thunder Alley at Amalie Arena. And it's... It says the concert and post-game festivities kick off about 20 minutes after the final whistle of Saturday night's game.
Okay.
So it gives you some time to, you know, use the facilities, go downstairs. And the concert is being held to celebrate Tampa Bay Lightning's new partnership with PepsiCo Beverages, because you heard that. That, they were Coke in the arena, and now it's all Pepsi products.
Yep.
So, so they're kind of throwing a little party for it.
Yeah.
For only the second game at home all regular season.
Well.
So it's supposed to be, from what I can see early on in the weather forecast, it's supposed to be a beautiful night. There's also another concert going on at Curtis Dixon Park that same night.
Oh,
there's a lot of free music. Or not free music. This one is free. The Low Cash Show on Fourth Thunder Alley. From what I can tell, you don't need to have a ticket to the game to see the concert because the concert's going to be outside in Fourth Thunder Alley after the game.
Right.
So... It's free on Thunder Alley. If you want to go to the game, too, that's when you got to get a ticket. Make sense?
Yes.
10-4.
I'm glad you clarified that.
Yes. But yeah, Low Cash, they put on a great show. They have so much energy. They've got great songs. They're just good dudes.
Good.
So
good for them.
It's a good Saturday night concert. Something to check out. And when do you ever get free stuff? Right?
This is true.
So take advantage. They put on a great show. So, all right. So I sent you some standings from The Athletic. I was reading an article about the predictions for 2019-2020 projected NHL standings.
Yeah.
And so I thought we would dive into it for a couple minutes before we get on with Eric Erlandson.
All right.
All right. Where do you want to start?
Oh.
Should we just start with the Lightning and rip the Band-Aid off?
Yeah, just let's do it.
All right. So... And this is projected. The projected record that they're saying is 51-24-7 with 109.6 points. But what's interesting, you know, we kind of ran away with it last season. What's interesting is they have the Boston Bruins right below us with 106.4 points.
Yeah, the top four teams I thought was really interesting. So the top, this is the entire NHL.
Right.
the entire NHL, they have the Lightning with 109.6 points. The Bruins, as CT said, at 106.4. The Hurricanes at 104 even. And
those
the Maple
jerks.
Leafs at 103.6.
Yeah.
That's wild.
And the St. Louis Blues at 101.5.
The lone Western Conference.
Yeah.
In the top five.
Yeah, but then a bunch of the Western Conference guys are listed behind the Blues, Nashville, Vegas, Colorado. Mm-hmm. So
I kind of can't disagree there. The top four, as they have it, even the Blues, they're a good hockey club, and they've been a good hockey club. It's just they finally
won a Stanley Cup. Yeah,
the cup. You look at this, and it makes a lot of sense on paper.
Mm-hmm.
On paper. On the ice, you never know.
Like, these are just projections. Just projections.
They're
you
just
wanna know
projections.
You want to know who's in the basement?
Oh, gosh.
I'm kind of, I mean, I don't really follow them enough, but I get why. Rounding out the bottom four, Chicago, L.A., Detroit, and Ottawa.
I mean, in three of those, you look at and go, how the mighty have fallen.
Right. Such change in the league.
And that's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's not a popular opinion, but it's good when you have, you know, for holy cow, CT, for how many years was it literally Chicago, Kings, Blackhawks, Kings, Blackhawks, Kings, Kings, Blackhawks.
Detroit.
Yeah.
Up in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was so monotonous.
Mm-hmm.
In a way.
Yeah.
Especially if you weren't, you know, if you're, whether you were a fan or not of those teams, the third cup, sure, it feels great. But that, you know, one feels amazing and you'll probably never feel that way again when your team wins it. But it was back and forth for a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, Detroit is always a perennial good team.
Yeah.
So to see those teams at the bottom, we saw LA and Chicago both take a downward turn last year. Detroit, I thought maybe they could kind of pick it back up again, especially with Eiserman at the helm.
Yep.
Has a lot, you know, we've seen what he can do. So it's interesting that they don't put more stock in Eiserman.
Well, it's still early. It's still early. I mean,
it is.
You can't expect that right away, right?
I don't know. I think some of the decisions when he first took over the Lightning did take a little bit to come to fruition. Some of the moves that he made as general manager of the Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they'll finish second from last.
Yeah.
I think they'll make a push maybe after, you know, listen, holy cow, it's still October. And I'm like, oh, maybe they'll make a push mid-season, see? But they could.
Yeah, but I mean, look at how many teams. I think you have to go almost 2/3 of the list where they're going to be above 90 points.
I don't.
And the Florida Panthers are like the 19th team down the list, which a lot can happen in a season. Maybe they're looking at last season compared to this season and all that. But yeah, and then I mean, there are a lot of teams 90 points plus.
I am interested. I don't know. I'd have to really sit down again. I'm not a maths person.
Maths.
I'm saying it the British way.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a maths person.
Okay.
But that math seems a little weird to me. So if you guys don't have a subscription to The Athletic or their app, you can get the app. I was telling CT this, and you do get things for free. They will give
there's
you
some articles that are
you
free.
Get some stuff for free. But they have the Senators dead last at like 71 points. I don't know if that's how math works. Maybe it is. I don't know. I need a graphing calculator to figure this out.
So let's get into the playoffs and the percentage. More. Okay. So let's talk more
like
specifically about the Stanley Cup percentage.
Okay. Let's do that.
Because if you're in the top five, you're about 99% to 95% in the playoffs. They have the Lightning at 18% Stanley Cup. And that's the highest on the list.
I
mean, if they're going to be at the top of the list, then yeah.
You know what? I'm tired of people saying this. I said it.
What are you tired of?
Every time you turn around, it's like, oh, the Lightning have the best percentage to make the Stanley Cup final. How about we stop talking about it and maybe they'll get there?
A little PTSD like if there, Dory?
Omitting the Boston Bruins from every conversation, maybe they just will cease to exist at some point.
Okay.
I'm just going to...
I don't think they're going anywhere.
Talk to the ether.
They're kind of original six. They're not going anywhere. Sorry.
Sad. Sad face.
So, yeah, I mean, there is that.
I think I'm just getting superstitious because of Halloween coming up, but I'm starting to be like...
No, I think you're a little superstitious.
I'm getting weird about things every time somebody's like, oh, I have had people in
my
office.
Well, and it's also October.
It is October.
But before you know, it's going to be December.
Yeah. And then, yeah, and then we'll just keep on going because that's how calendars work. But...
Thanks, Dory.
You're welcome.
What are people in your office saying?
I've heard people in my office talk about, you know, oh, I'm not worried. They're going to go back. They're going to go all the way this year. And it's like, shush it, buddy.
Let's just play every game as it comes and see what happens.
Yeah.
I like it.
I know that they have to do these projections. Okay.
Yes.
That's
part of their gig. Just like we have to sit and talk about them.
And we have to sit and talk about the projections they do. The disclaimer is CT and I do not buy into these projections. We never really do.
Yeah.
It's a good talking point. It's interesting to see where other people put them for whatever reason.
And comparatively to where the other teams in the league as well.
Right. But by no means are we saying that they're going to have a 99% winning percentage in the playoffs, which is what the Athletic believes.
Hey, it's really nice that they believe in them.
That's almost impossible, wouldn't it be?
I don't know.
Maybe not.
We'll see.
I guess we'll see.
You know, they did tie a record last year, but, you know, we'll see. But, like, again, take every game as it comes.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we've learned the first 2 weeks or so of the season. You know, you might think that they're going to go into Ottawa or Carolina and win a game. It might not happen that way.
And, listen, Carolina's a good team.
Those bunch of jerks are a really good team.
They went really far last year and shocked the world. They were the NHL's Cinderella.
Yep.
Kind of like Vegas the year before.
Yep.
And I think that they're here to stay for a minute.
Uh-huh.
So this is, you know.
I think so. And, you know, just because we lost to Ottawa doesn't mean we panic. We go into the next building in Montreal and we see what happens. And then win or lose, we go into the next building of Boston and we see what happens. You know, so that's all we can do at this point. So don't panic. I've had people ask me for the last week, are you panicking yet? Should we panic? No.
Why would you panic?
We've seen them play once at home.
Why would people panic in October?
Just calm down. I know everybody has really high expectations for this team. Sure. Dory and I included.
Yep.
The players included. The staff included. But we just have to see where the chips fall.
Yeah.
And be there to support them no matter what. Because they're our team.
That's what we have to do. We can't throw in the towel.
Nope.
And can't schedule the parade.
Right. So we're going to take a quick break and come back with our guest and friend, Eric Erlandson. But before we do that, I kind of want to just do something kind of nice. I know, Dory, you're looking at me like, what are you doing? I just want to send a congratulations to our friends at the Rays because they had a great season. You know, so congratulations to them. It was awesome. And the Lightning were supporting them through the playoffs. So congratulations on a great season. And we can't wait to see what next season brings. So, all right, we're going to go and take a quick break. And like we said, back with more from our friend Eric Erlandson.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
We are joined by one of our favorite guests, Eric Erlandson of LightningInsider.com and part of the Lightning Power Play family. Hi, Eric. Happy new season.
Happy New Year. And by the way, flattery will get you everywhere.
Oh, well, I'm very good at it then. but you are one of our favorite people, or at least mine. I can't speak for Dory, but I like
you. I adore Double E.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are so nice.
So good summer. Everything good with you?
Yeah, you know what? I love telling the story. I went to Iceland this summer.
Ooh, I knew that.
Don't know, my dad is from Iceland, so I was able to go back. And first time I'd been there, other than the time I was an infant, so I don't really count that. But, yeah, it's the first time I was back there. My 20-year-old son was with me. My brother went with me and spent 12 days in Iceland exploring some of the countryside and seeing the house where my dad grew up and a lot of the places that he used to tell us about as a kid. So it was from that aspect, it was a really cool summer.
That's awesome. That's one of my bucket list places. So I'm going to have to like pick your brain on like where to go and things to do.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I was following you along on Facebook through your travels to Iceland, and I was like,
so jealous. Yeah.
What?
Awesome. Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
It is, and one of the coolest things was there's a place that's called Black Beach, which is one of the bigger tourist areas. It's in a town called Vík, which is about 40 to 45 minutes east of Reykjavik, which mm-hmm. is where we were staying. And there's a hill mountainside or whatever it is. It's right on the beach, and at the top of it is the lighthouse. It was built in 1927. My grandfather helped build lighthouse, so that was really cool to be able to see that.
Wow, that's so cool.
Are you going to Sweden?
I'm not going to Sweden unless somebody's going to find me a way to pay for it. I will be watching from home like everybody else.
That's what we said, too. We're still trying to find a player's luggage to sneak into, you know.
Well, Victor Hedman's probably going to need to take a lot of stuff, so
maybe
sneak into his bag.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so let's get into the team a little bit. And, you know, it's our third week on. So we've kind of talked about a lot of things, and I know you're on Lightning Power Play too. So we kind of want to like get bits and pieces of things that we've talked about and that we've marked as we need to get Eric's opinion on this because we really really value your opinion. And so we kind of wanted to jump in to Kevin Shattenkirk because he had a great goal at the Toronto game. What do you think his contributions are going to be? Because he was kind of like one of those guys coming off of a buyout. You know, not really sure what's going to happen with him. Is he going to be back to his, you know, all-star playing capacity?
Well, there's two things I like about Kevin Shattenkirk. First of all, when he signed his deal here just after being bought out by the Rangers, he talked about coming in with a chip on his shoulder, and he felt that that attitude matched the team's attitude after what happened to the Lightning in the playoffs last year, that he felt in that aspect it was a good fit. And it's also a good fit in the aspect that Tampa Bay wants their defensemen to be on the rush. They want them to join the attack. They want them to be offensive. He's an offensive defenseman. There's no doubt about it. It's a big part of his game. We're seeing that in the early aspects, and I think he can put up a lot of points. The concern or things we want to see play out with him is how good can he be in his own end, and who's he going to play with? We're already starting to see him kind of moved around a little bit with defensive pairings. You know, he's a new player to the organization, so you have to find out who he is, what's his on-ice personality, how he plays, and kind of see where he fits. So that's going to be a work in progress as we work through things here. But the one thing about his play that has stood out to me in the early going is his ability to get pucks through. Mm-hmm. He does not get many shots blocked. Both of his goals were just kind of floating shots that just kind of found their way through traffic. It's a knack that he has. It's a skill that he's worked on. It's not easy to do. There's not every defenseman in the league can do it. But he's really, really good at it. And if he can continue to do that, he's going to rack up some points.
Yeah, do you think, sticking with the Shattenkirk subject, do you think some of this, let's just cut to the chase. Yeah, last year wasn't maybe his best year.
Nope.
Since he's been in the league, when I found out that the Lightning had signed him this summer, I immediately was like, wow, I thought that was a steal. And I had a feeling that this was going to be a guy from everything I had watched, mainly when he was in St. Louis. This is a guy that kind of plays with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, as you mentioned. Also kind of has a little bit of a kind of always that attitude of, yeah, I'll fly under your radar because I believe in what I can do. Have you gotten that from him at all in dealing with him in the locker room or with his new teammates?
A little bit, yeah, for sure. I mean, he knows what his strengths are, and he knows that his strengths are going to mesh with this team pretty good. You know, he did not have a good year last year in New York. He was a healthy scratch, I think, once or twice. He had a knee injury that kind of limited him. He only played about 60-some-odd games, but he's already surpassed his goal total from last year. And, you know, it was always an odd fit when he signed with the Rangers mm-hmm. because he went to New York because he's from New York. It was a dream of his to always play for the Rangers. Because don't forget, it wasn't that long ago he turned down a potential trade to Tampa Bay and I think a 7-year extension that would have come with it. So he, because that's how much he wanted to play for the Rangers. So it didn't work out for him there. So I think this is an opportunity for him to have a fresh start. And because of that belief he has in his abilities, I think he can have a really big year. The question's going to be then, it's hard to think that you could retain him because he's on such a team-friendly deal this year. But what's his future if he puts up the kind of numbers that we think he can put up this year?
Another off-season signing was Patrick Maroon, coming off a fresh Stanley Cup win with the St. Louis Blues. And I've really enjoyed seeing him play. I think he kind of adds a little bit of grit to this team. Do you think his contributions are necessarily going to show up on the stat sheet, or are they more like, you know, in locker room kind of contributions we're going to see from him?
Yes, that's what you're going to see. I mean, look, he's getting first unit power play time. He's so hard to move in front of the net. The first goal he scored there opening night against Florida, he was just camped out, and nobody was going to move him from that spot. And he was in the perfect place, to pick up his first goal with the team there on the power play. You had another situation. He made a nice play to set up Luke Gawkowski in the Ottawa game, which was at that time was an important goal. So he brings that value. He brings that grit factor. There's no doubt that there's many people who believe Tampa Bay was lacking that severely last year. Mm-hmm. He brings it. And when I saw him in a preseason game in Nashville after he was engaged in a fight and he skated by the Nashville bench and kind of pointed to his ring finger saying, "Look what I won last year."
Nice.
I think that kind of showed you the attitude that he's going to bring. I don't mind that swagger. I don't like it when I see Brad Marchand do it, but I didn't mind it when I saw Pat Maroon do it. He's going to bring all that, and the veteran leadership and the fact that he's won a cup last year. He scored, obviously, a huge goal in the second round against the Dallas Stars to propel them to the conference finals. So he's going to bring all that and more, and I think it's something that's going to work out very well for him and the team.
Now, I want to ask you something that I brought up in an earlier segment that we were talking about, and I said I really want to get your thoughts on this. Probably should preface it once again, as we've, I think, done 3 or 4 times already in this week's episode. We're not hitting the panic button because it's ridiculous. It's only October. But the one thing that I have seen, and I want to get your insight on it because I think you have the best insight when it comes to this team, is... does this team know its identity for this season yet?
No. I don't think any team does. I think you have to allow things to kind of breathe organically and kind of figure things out. Because you might go into a season with a preconceived notion of what a team should look like, and they might start to play a completely different way by the time you get to the middle of November. And really, it takes about 6 weeks for teams to kind of figure out who they are, what they have. You know, you don't see too many trades in the early part of the season for exactly that reason. You know, teams want to figure out what they have, where things fit, do they need to make changes. And it's usually by about Thanksgiving that you start to see all those things come together and start to develop. I don't think we have seen this team's identity. We know what it was last year, but last year was last year. This year is this year. You have a Maroon, you have a Witkowski, you have a Shattenkirk now, you have a Curtis McElhinney, you brought in or promoted Carter Verhaeghe, you had Jamel Smith for the first 3 games of the season. You have new faces around this team, so you kind of have to let those things develop on their own and then figure out if you need to make tweaks or, if you need to change ideas on what you had. So, no, I don't think you can develop a team identity for, probably 5-6 weeks into a season.
All right, and you brought up Curtis McElhinney. I kind of... I'm not surprised, but I'm kind of pleasantly surprised is not a good word to use, but we've seen him already twice this season, and we've only had a handful of games. Are you kind of shocked at that, or are you kind of like, okay, here's the next season of Vasilevsky as number one goaltender. We're going to try to work this guy in a little bit more and give Vassy some more rest to get through the postseason, hopefully?
I think that's absolutely the idea here. That's not to say that Louis Domingue couldn't do the job, but there were other factors, including next season, because you did sign McElhinney to a 2-year deal. But, one of the things that they talked about in camp was, making things a little bit easier on Vasilevsky, and that obviously that means in games, not have to face so many shots, hasn't worked out so far in the early stages of the season, but you know, that's an idea to kind of reduce those high danger opportunities that the team gives up. And then you have a guy like McElhaney who can kind of lighten the game load on Andre Vasilevsky. You know, if you look at the stats, I think the last goaltender to start 60 or more games was Jonathan Quick back in 2012. There hasn't been a goaltender since then who's done that. So I think that's also on their mind, you know, if you can kind of keep him at that 60 or lower mark. But to do that, you have to have a guy you can rely on. And certainly in his two starts so far this season, Curtis McElhaney has shown he's ready to be that guy.
We're talking with Eric Erlandson of LightningInsider.com and part of our Tampa Bay Lightning Power Play family. On the subject of McElhaney, the two starts that he has, I think he's played well. Between the pipes there, the scoreboard didn't want to agree with the Lightning. How long does it typically take a team to get used to a different goaltender? We saw it, and we mentioned it earlier in our show. You know, we saw this with Vasilevsky. People probably don't remember it, but when Ben Bishop was number one and Vasi would come up, it took him a little bit to get used to Vasi. What did they have to do to get used to McElhaney?
Well, the first thing first and foremost, you have to get used to the way they play the puck, you know. And that was obviously a huge difference between Ben Bishop and Andre Vasilevsky. I mean, nobody plays the puck as well as Ben Bishop does in the game today. So that was a big thing. So that's one thing. You have to learn how that goaltender, you know, handles the puck, where you should be if he goes behind the net, how often is he going to come and play the puck, those kind of things. You have to get accustomed to the communication. I mean, Ben Bishop was a huge talker. He was always, you know, talking to his defense and, you know, making sure they knew what they did. It's probably not as much with a Vasilevsky because of, you know, the language factor. He's learned English a lot better, but that's something you have to get used to. So now you have to get used to Curtis McElhaney in that aspect. And then how much does he like, you know, how much do you want him to block shots and all that stuff? So it takes a little bit, again, to find that on-ice personality of a player, including a goaltender.
All right, and two more questions here before we let you go. Braden Point, he comes back, scores within less than 3 minutes of his first game of the season. How important do you think he is to this team? Because, you know, we think of the Stamkos and the Kucherov, but, like, really, I mean, this kid is quite something.
He is, and when he jumped back on the ice for that game in Toronto, you saw the elements that he brings. You saw the tenacity. You know, you saw that he was able to fight for the puck down low, wasn't going to be out-battled despite the goaltender and two Toronto defensemen around him to collect the puck and backhanded it. And then you, on his second goal, you saw the speed, his ability to push back the D and create space for Steven Stamkos up high. They worked the play between Stamkos and Kucherov. Braden Point, the smart player that he is, goes right for the net. So you have both of those elements when he's on the ice. You have his ability to draw other teams' top lines if he has to, so you have that defensive mindset that he has. And then when he's in the lineup, it slots everybody else into their spots, into more comfortable spots, more roles that they're able to handle a little bit. So when you have a player like that back, somebody said it to me the other day, it's like having a mid-season trade, bringing a player like that, even though he only missed 3 games. But that's how important of a player Braden Point is.
Yeah, I was so happy to see. First of all, I was so happy that we weren't going to be talking about, is he going to sign? Isn't he going to sign? You know, a couple of weeks into the new season. So I was so happy to see him sign and then to see him come back and just put it away real quick and easy and be like, yep, that's why you signed me and I'm back. So it was good to see that. I do have one question last for you. This team, like you said, is a little different than last season. What do you think is going to be the one difference maker of this team going through this season?
The one difference maker. It has to be Nikita Kucherov, right? Like, he has to be the guy to be a difference. He's coming off a 128-point season. When he's engaged, he's one of the best players in the league, if not the best, and certainly there's lots of arguments that are out there. But I think he has to be the guy. Now, if you were to ask me who's the most important player on this team, I think it's Victor Hedman. I think a healthy Victor Hedman, the way that he controls the ice, the amount of minutes that he can play, and that he can play a lot of those minutes because he's so efficient in terms of his skating ability. But, I mean, look, we saw it in the playoffs last year. He wasn't at 100%. His health was a big factor in those first two losses. He didn't play in games 3 and 4. He's such a huge part of this team that We saw it last year. You lost Andre Vasilevsky and Louis Domingue won 10 straight games for you. But absent Victor Hedman, I think, is a much different story. To me, he's the key. He's the one that kind of makes everything go on this team. If he's there and on top of his game, he kind of controls the ice, and that's what you want out of a number one defenseman who's won a Norris Trophy.
All right, and we got a lot of hardware this offseason, so we're looking
not
for
the
some...
one that we're looking for, though.
I know, we're looking for some more this year, but remind everybody where they can find you on social media and online.
Yeah, on Twitter, my handle is @Erik, it's E-R-I-K underscore, and then the last name is E-R-L-E-N-D-S-S-O-N. I also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/lightninginsider. And then, of course, you can hear me weekdays 12 to 1 o'clock on Lightning Power Play with Lightning Lunch. I also host the opening face-off, which is Herd home game, at 4:30. So you can. There's plenty of places you can find me. Oh yeah, lightninginsider.com as well.
I was going to say, don't forget that one.
And do you have anything going, like, special-wise for new subscribers? I know you always have, like, really cool stuff going on for new subscribers. Like, I saw you were giving away – you give away all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah, you know, I had a training camp special that was going on. I haven't had one here in the early stages of the season, but there will be one. So just check out all those social media handles I just gave you, and the next time a special comes out, that's where you'll see it.
Ooh, you heard it here first, guys. Thank you so much, Erik. We really appreciate it, and we can't wait to catch you at the rink sometime.
Okay, ladies, I appreciate the time. Great talking to you.
All right, that's it for Game Misconduct this week. Don't forget you can follow us as well on social media, mostly Twitter, @GameMizWithAZConduct, and look for us on Facebook as well. And we will catch you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.